This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good morning, Nashville. You're listening to Morning Drive from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by Rumelon.com. This is Justin Bradford, along with Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass. And Joe, there's just continuing to be breaking sports news as we continue to follow the college football situation. And yeah, we're going to keep you updated as the morning progresses. I'm sure more news will come out as people are getting up in the morning.
The craziest August of sports continues.
It does. And hey, speaking of crazy, last night we'll kick it off with some hockey talk because of what happened with the NHL draft lottery. And that was, did you watch this, Joe, the dramatic elements that they went with this confirming every logo on the ball?
I did. I was so impressed with Gary Bettman. I was hoping he'd actually do the alphabet next. It was really impressive. Good job, Gary. You know the logos of those teams.
And then the one that the ball handler dropped in the tube early was the one that got picked. Conspiracy theorists, get your foil out.
Well, now. Anyone who remembers the 1985 NBA draft, Patrick Ewing went to the New York Knicks. Where do they play? Madison Square Garden. Where do the New York Rangers play? What would the NHL love? Would they love a star and a great team in New York? I believe they would, Justin. I'm just saying.
Yeah, not like they don't have good young talent already.
That's right.
On the Rangers. Luckily, I'm sure for Preds fans at least. Not in the division, so didn't go to Minnesota. Not to Pittsburgh, because Preds fans hate Pittsburgh because of the final and because most hockey fans, I guess, hate Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Didn't go to Edmonton for the rich to get richer. Didn't go to Toronto for the rich to get richer.
So, good with that.
Yeah. Overall.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Could have been worse.
It could have been worse, but also it still falls into the could have been a conspiracy part.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Kind of worked out well if the Preds weren't going to get it. By the way, you yesterday,
uh-oh,
I thought, you know, you taught me a new way to say Alexei Lafreniere.
That's very
close.
Yeah,
and NHL Network, I'm hearing Alexis Lafreniere.
Oh, it's awful.
What's up with that?
It was awful.
You must have been cringing when they kept saying his name over and over again.
I was. It's like, all it takes is watching a couple of videos from his time in the queue. Just listen to how their announcers are saying his name.
And I mean, honestly, as someone, I actually took French for several years. I don't have a lot to show for it. But I know that you don't say the R.
Exactly. That's why it's funny with Alex Carrier, who was also a prospect for the Predators, playing in Milwaukee, where they say Carrier. It's like, he's not an air conditioning unit.
So is it Mark Carrier? This is Andre Carrier.
Especially when you know that they're from Quebec. It's like, there's a difference.
The French-speaking
province.
Yeah, you
province. Can tell.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to be Carrier. At least in A, Alexis Lafreniere.
What if the Rangers don't take him, you know, after all this? Like, they're already they interviewed him about the Rangers and everything. It's like, well, what if they zig when everybody thinks they're going
to
zag?
I mean, there's potential there because, you know, a team like Ottawa would probably love to move up, and they have picks to trade. And that's been the talk, too. Like, if Nashville got it, would they trade that away? I went, no, Nashville wouldn't. They need to get a little
A guy
rich.
Like that would, right.
Yeah, but there's other teams like New York. They have some good young talent. They have Kaapo Kakko. They have Artemi Panarin. They have some good things in place. They have good young goaltending there. So it's like, if they take a prospect that maybe isn't ready to go day one but ready to go day two, they'd be okay and survive. So, hey, anything can happen there, especially with the Rangers. I love chaos, Joe. I love chaos when it comes to these things. So I hope for chaos.
That would be fun.
Whenever there's a tournament going on, even if it's at my own expense, I just love chaos.
Okay.
It's fun.
You're an agent of chaos, would you say that?
No. I'm not an agent.
You're not the Joker.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not. Wait, which Joker? Jack Nicholson?
Well, I was talking Heath Ledger Joker. Heath Ledger, that's what he said, right? He's an agent of chaos?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
The last Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
Yes.
It was a good vehicle for acting, and it was a...
It definitely was.
But, like, I didn't leave that movie like, wow, that was a great installment of the Batman series, right? I mean, it was just sort of like they used that to try to get him an Oscar. I don't know.
If you left that movie or finished watching that movie with, like, positive vibes, I worry about someone.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to make you feel good.
No, I went with my oldest, and there were, like, a bunch of kids in the theater.
Oh.
And, like, kids as in, like, 14,
oh, okay,
15,
okay.
You know, like, and they, this is not what they expected. They were like, oh, yeah, cool, like a Joker movie. And it, I was like, I will never watch that movie again.
There we have Joe's take on that. So
there we go. So you never know where we might go. This segment could get chaotic and go into Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, that's a little bit to get us back on topic, I guess. A little bit of what I would like from the Preds is some chaos when it comes to free agency and comes to letting people walk. But focusing on the draft now, there's still a good opportunity. The Nashville Predators are picking 11th, which for a deep draft is not too shabby at all, given that they also have 2 seconds and 2/3. They have an opportunity to get a lot of guys to stack the cupboard and refill the cupboard, for lack of a better phrase, to potentially make this team have their window stay just a little bit open. And I know later in the show, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have Scott Wheeler from The Athletic come on, talk about the NHL draft lottery and the draft in general to see what might be a good fit for the Nashville Predators. And also Chris Mason will be joining us as well at 9:30 to talk about the Predators. So we have plenty of Predators talk coming up later, but we're going to have to talk a lot of college football in this show. So the Nashville Predators in terms of the draft, Joe, in terms of looking at the way the team is set up right now, what do you think should be a focus on this? Best player available, which so many GMs go with, just whoever's the best, especially when it's a deep draft. Forward, defense, they're all there, even goaltending. I mean, there's a Russian goaltender that is slated to go top 10 easily because he's supposed to be a beast, and you don't see that often in NHL drafts.
Yeah, what if he was there? That'd be a bit shocking, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be a bit shocking.
Yeah.
You have to trade up for him.
Well, look, I usually I do like to read my guy Adam Vingan and what he says, and then I say, here's my opinion, what Adam Vingan says. But he's all forward, he's all center, and I think most people would think that, right? Would think, okay, well, you've got to replenish that. You got to go find someone high there who could potentially be in your lineup and not too far down the road. But I still believe in the best available idea of if there were – look, we know that David Poile can find defensemen and can evaluate defensemen, right? So if you had someone you absolutely loved and you were like, that's just the best player right now, and I have no idea who that would be, but I'm just saying if you had someone like that and they were there, it's not a bad thing to have another good defenseman in your system either.
True, even if it's a tradable asset. I mean, that's – literally what Seth Jones became.
Right.
He was not going to have a spot in the top four. He just wasn't.
Which is crazy to think right now, but he wasn't.
Right. Crazy to think because he's a future Norris Trophy candidate, potentially. I mean, the way he plays, he's going to be top three very, very soon. And that's just there for him. But at the time, use him as an asset. It was there. Shea Weber was an asset. Brought another defenseman, but he's an asset.
Anyone can be an asset.
Yeah, anyone can be. So Corey Prodman of The Athletic is saying Jack Quinn, who's a right winger. And, I mean, hey, guys that can score on the wing is very important. Centers are also very important. Future considerations, because I always love downloading their draft guide to prepare for the draft to really get what they want, and have Quinn at number 20.
Mm.
That's a big, big difference there because Prodman is saying if he's available.
Yeah, Prodman has him 15, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then future considerations at the 11 have Seth Jarvis, who's also right winger, playing in the W. So it's very curious to see. And I'm going to do a lot more deep diving into this, and I want to get Scott Wheeler's opinion on it too, because it's one of those things that everyone – the best player available is the – I want to say the easy way to take, but it's one sometimes the best approach for David Poile, as you see sometimes. But I really do think with this Predators team, I'd love to see them take a forward of someone that hopefully in 2 years might be ready to actually make it to the big club. Because with this deep of a draft, the way I see it is that, you know, Philip Tomasino had a year in junior, and they're wanting him to compete for a spot. It's not guaranteed he's going to get it next season, but the expectations are there because he's done all he can in junior.
Yeah.
Afanasyev, second round pick. maybe one more year to go of more seasoning, getting more and more used to it and everything. So that's why I kind of see similar here with her having a higher pick in the draft, that a guy that is ready to go in a year. Well, for this club is really good. If you're bringing in the youth, you're going to have cap space, which is great. Get more of these younger guys on entry-level contracts that can also perform the middle six. That sets up for success overall. That's just my tone of view on it.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. Jarvis. Yeah, actually, a very disappointed, and this is from Promen, but you know, Vinken sort of boiled it down at The Athletic. None of these names are very exciting. I like some of the names that you were just talking about, like the Russian in the – I mean, it's going to take me a couple years to get there. Say that again.
Askarov? Or are you talking – oh, Afanasyev.
Yeah.
Afanasyev. The actual prospect,
that's
yes.
a great name.
Igor Afanasyev.
Igor – that's fantastic. But Dawson Mercer is another guy thrown out there who's a centerman. You know, 24 goals, 60 points in 42 games in the QM. And then, yeah, Jarvis, as you said, 98 points, 58 games in the WHL.
Yeah.
Seems like some good options.
There's some good options out there. Now, Seth Jarvis, not saying I'm going with him. It's just he's at number 11 in future considerations. So what they're saying about him is a true spark plug of a winger. He is a treat to watch because of his competitiveness and intensity. He has explosive skating ability because he plays on his toes and turns his feet quickly, but his short strides instead hurt his top gear. He gains separation due to his ability to explode into open ice, but can have trouble maintaining if opponents have enough time to catch up. Plays with a ton of jump and hustle. Predators fans seem to love their jump and hustle. Victor Arvidsson, Rocco Grimaldi, Colin Blackwell. Those guys that remind me of jump and hustle, because Seth Jarvis is 5'10". Not saying he's overall short, and size should not be a thing, really, especially in today's NHL. You can be short and still have plenty of success. We've seen it with Victor Arvidsson, as long as he's not getting whacked
right.
in the crease. And he's 175 pounds as Seth Jarvis. But having that explosiveness on the ice and speed is obviously a huge part of the game right now. And having that ability to just beat out the defender is huge. So we see this. We're going to dive in more into this. But I'm just curious to see, you know, tweet us. At 102.5 The Game, who would you like to see the Predators go with? What type of player would you like to see the Predators go with? I know people are going to say, need someone that we said is a jerk on the ice but can produce. We
yeah,
said
well,
yesterday.
You, yeah, the intensity part there was interesting.
It is.
Because that's something you want. You want competitiveness that people – it's so obvious people can see it just by watching them play. I do wonder, you mentioned all those guys, can you have too many little guys?
I mean, yeah, you want a good mix. I mean, I wouldn't think you want a whole team of guys less than 6 feet.
Yeah,
just you don't want that view.
Because I feel like they need big nasty guys.
Big nasty guys. That sounds like a song. It's a future song.
Maybe I'll Google it.
So plenty to talk about more there, but we're going to switch gears and we're going to get into college football because plenty has gone on, even developed overnight, that we want to discuss. So we're going to talk about the Big Ten coaches, what they're having to say, what the players are saying about college football and how they want to play, and what some of the decisions have been that have lately come out. All that up next, Morning Drive, Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass. Let's move on to college football and just get you up to date on what is going on there. Last night, Mountain West Conference joined with the MAC in terms of canceling, and that's up to 26 schools now, including the independent UConn. So just more and more dominoes continue to fall, and more news keeps breaking. We had Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, on yesterday, and he's just been blowing it out of the water. So is Nicole Auerbach. Just they've been just breaking so much news. I can imagine how exhausted they must be in continuing to break news. And Big Ten, assuming more things may come out later today, and you have other conferences just kind of standing pat. SEC is digging their heels in and saying they're going to make it happen. You have some Big Ten coaches. I don't want to say going rogue, but they're going against what the conference presidents.
Their own presidents.
Their own presidents.
Michigan and Ohio State are attacking their presidents.
Right. And then Nebraska's over there going, hello, schedule us.
Yeah.
So it's been a very interesting, 48, 72 hours for college football as we continue to see this. And we're seeing a big fight from the players collectively wanting to play. And it's to me, it's difficult to have an opinion on this because I completely understand both sides. I really, truly do with this. Understand the safety of it. Then I understand the player argument of going, there's a lot of players that if they go back home, if, say, classes go fully virtual and they go back home, are they going to be safer at home with the choices that they have to make at home, family situations?
Without the medical
personnel there, without having the accountability that a team can hold you to. If the players that are standing up and being true leaders are the ones that are saying, we'll hold our teammates accountable, we'll be accountable for each other. That's big, because you're not even seeing that in professional athletes sometimes. Instead of college athletes, because look at how many MLB players said, oh, no, I'm going to avoid my team rules. I'm going to go out to a party.
And then go, quote unquote, get coffee.
Right. So that's big in terms of leadership for these college athletes to understand how big of a situation this is, to talk about accountability for each other and personal responsibility. So I absolutely commend them for that, because they understand it. I think they understand the ramifications here, but also we're seeing too is their voice does matter. Their voice should matter, and it should be a part of this, but also looking at what matters is the epidemiology of this, what medical experts are saying, and understanding what the president's points of views are for these universities of, well, there's a money situation, potential liability. Liability is a big one as well. So trying to gauge both of these, I understand both sides. It makes it so difficult, because we want this to happen. We want it happening safely if it possibly can.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's very complex. I don't think there's any question that the players and what they've done, and I look at Trevor Lawrence for sure, but a lot of players have obviously joined this really quick-moving movement I think that it's really made an impact. I think it's put some things on pause here with the Big Ten. It sounds very much like the SEC. Greg Sankey tweets yesterday, I took those as basically, like, don't expect us to immediately, whatever they do, we're going to make our own decision on our own time, which is kind of like it happened with the Big Ten, scheduling only conference opponents. When that happened, it was a little bit of a stun factor around here, and the SEC took their time, and eventually they did the same thing. Probably would do the same thing if the dominoes, the dominoes that matter to them are the Big Ten and the Pac-12, which seem to be the two closest to doing this, but it appears, look, liability, always keep that in mind on this. And I don't know how the presidents are going to get to the point where they're like, yeah, we're feeling okay about this now. I mean, that's going to be a big thing. But public opinion has to matter too, and I think we're seeing. There's such a groundswell here, and it's not just players, it's coaches. You got Jim Harbaugh putting out a very extensive, argument to play. James Franklin doing the same thing. And really, it is. It's. I'm gonna tell you, Justin, I'm very proud of my tweet with the Revenge of the Nerds picture last night.
It's a good one.
It's like the president and the coach, John Gooden, whoever hasn't seen Revenge of the Nerds, great 1984 film. Some things probably don't translate well today in all ways, but you've got the presidents and the coaches, and a lot of things are like this. The butting heads. I mean, the playoff. If football people had their way, we would have had an expansive playoff long ago. Presidents have tried to stop it. All sorts of things go along those lines. We're kind of there now. Coaches are going on official school Twitter accounts and basically just attacking their own presidents. But that's where it is. So I do think there's some pause here in the Big Ten. That's how I'm reading it. I mean, there's meetings that are supposed to be happening today. Rittenberg tweeted last night, certainly could see the presidents opting against a full postponement. Yesterday on this show, we talked about how Dan Patrick talked about how there was a 12-2 vote to cancel. Now, again, and we asked Adam that, and I think it's obvious that wasn't like a vote and then they went back. It's like they took the temperature in the room.
Right.
But maybe the temperature's changed. And maybe not, and maybe Farmageddon has to go elsewhere. That's the Nebraska-Iowa game, Farmageddon hashtag. They're like, no, we want to play. I mean, it's in that league, just take the Big Ten. The SEC is still a lot more, I think, like-minded and geographically connected institute. But the Big Ten, you're going, got Rutgers over here.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And got Nebraska over there.
All the way west to Nebraska.
Northwestern, and I mean, just a big variety. So the Big Ten is going to largely, I think, dictate where it goes from here.
And we're seeing so many players come out, just aside from Trevor Lawrence. So Bo Nix, thanks for the support of the entire Auburn administration. We are safe for playing a football season. We have worked our entire lives to get where we are now. Don't let it go to waste. We need football. Listen to the players. Then let's see. Chris Owens, I'll never be one to make some generic blanket statement. Never in my life. And will I stand on what I believe? I believe as a student athlete. The leadership has failed us on the side of not having a baseline plan in place for us players to work with.
It's
That's
true.
Big. That's very true. The NCAA has failed so immensely on this because you have conferences individually going out and having to do this, and you don't have any leadership at the top that's come up with a plan that you knew back in the spring. Hey, maybe we should look at this. This could go on for a little bit longer than just a few months, and we should have a plan in place, a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, full-on plans. They're getting paid because we know the pocketbooks of the NCAA are very, very, very full. And you don't have a plan in place. You couldn't have come up with all these different things of, well, if this happens, we should go this route. If we get news of this from the medical community, we should look at this. Hey, maybe we should start looking at budget for doing this plan of action here. Oh, well, if we have schools that are saying this and some schools are opting out, we have players opting out, we should have this plan. Hardly anything. We're seeing only leadership from the universities themselves and from conferences, but from the NCAA overall, not seeing much in general. You have conferences make their own individual decisions. What's the point of the NCAA?
Well,
then?
But see, that's the thing. I think, but that's also people. That, but the NCAA is it's a collection of institutions.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they have their. I mean, they have their governing board, and they have their investigative arm. But the NCAA really. I mean, it really is on. The schools, it's just a collection of schools. It's they aren't this separate, like they govern everyone, really. They really don't, you know?
Well, unless you break a rule, they don't
Well,
like.
Right, they have that, yes. They have the enforcement arm.
Yes.
And so that's how we think of the NCAA. But this certainly shows how the system's messed up.
Exactly. And the players are recognizing that even more. And they probably recognized it before, but they realize now they have an actual voice to say that.
Yeah.
And to say there needs to be a change. There needs to be some sort of revolution with college football, with college sports in general, when you see the money that is brought in on it. And yes, they're getting scholarships. They're getting opportunities here. But you have people that are lining their pockets with so much more on what these players are doing, like pawns for them, just to hopefully set themselves up for a professional career, which the majority of them don't. I mean, the majority of NCAA athletes in any sport don't go pro. It's just that's the number.
Right.
So they're doing it because it gives them an opportunity to go to school and to receive an education, to have a career later. But then you have these folks that are going professional in their sports, what one injury away, too.
Right. Well, exactly. And, I mean, look, there are a lot of places who take academics seriously and a lot of kids who take advantage of this to get degrees. There's also places that are interested in keeping athletes eligible so that they can win, so that they can line their pockets. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest about that. So I hope that all this comes with – eventually leads to, and I think we're seeing it, more voice for the players. I hope it leads to open market name, image, likeness rights for the players so that they can benefit while they're there. Are a lot of athletes who in college is the only time they're going to really be able to capitalize benefit from what they do. There are like great college players who don't make it in the pros, and you have this little window where you can just make some seed money for the rest of your life, just by doing, autographs or whatever. I mean, stuff like that should result from this. But this issue is, I mean, there's just so much to it. And you got to talk about everything. I mean, Paula Levine and Mark Slaback have a story about, this myocarditis, and there's 5 Big Ten players that have had some kind of a heart thing who had COVID, So, when you think about liability and you think about safety, if you're just going to talk about death to young people, which is a very remote possibility, then you're not being honest and talking about the whole picture. It's not just that. So, but at the same time, all these players saying we want to play and coaches, and they've been out there on this field busting their butt for weeks, and now it's like, oh, by the way, now – we're not playing. Oh, no, we don't have a plan either. Sorry, we didn't actually think about what the spring plan would look like. Or we just basically been hiding and hoping that the virus goes down and a vaccine comes. And
sorry.
I don't know. It's definitely a leadership vacuum. And it's, again, I think it is, it's a lack of you know, collective leadership, because they are. They're making decisions on their own, these conferences. And they're saying, what are they doing over there? And, oh, well, we're going to do this, or we got to do it. They did it. We have to do it. That's not leadership.
Peer pressure.
That's right.
So we're going to discuss more of that later on in the show. And we're going to have a hypothetical situation, too, about mega conferences, because you have some schools saying, we'll join another conference to play. We'll do that. We'll do that later on in the show. But up next, Floyd Reese, co-host of Jared and the GM, which you can hear this afternoon on 102.5 The Game. We're going to talk some NFL with him and, hey, how college football cancellation could affect what happens with the NFL draft and the NFL. Up next, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson behind the glass. And rocknashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. And Joe, continuing our discussion on college football, because that is the story in sports really right now, what the future is, and we'll talk economic impact as well later in the show too. We're seeing so much of a divide on so many things when it comes to this. And we've discussed about players unionizing. We can't really call it that, because of what it is. The players having a voice, but players are uniting so much. How much of this, for players, that if they have a collective voice, how much power are they really going to have? Are they going to change the minds of university presidents? Because, and I'm trying to look at this in that it's important for them to have a voice. Are university presidents going to listen? What do the players need to do to make a president listen to them?
Well, that's a great question. I think, first of all, public opinion, having people talk about it, having attention on, I mean, I've heard from fans like, you guys cover the players, the Pac-12 players, you know, with their concerns, or the Big Ten players, what about the players want to play? Well, I can read about a million stories right now about these players talking about how they want to play. We've got a ton on The Athletic right now. I mean, everyone is writing about this. It's a huge story. It's whatever the players are saying is newsworthy, and right now they are saying they want to play. And so I think, first of all, just the fact that it becomes a big story and it's talked about has to give them pause and say, okay, well, I mean, look, what were you hearing? You were hearing, I think, a variety of opinions from players. We actually had some anonymously sourced stories too, with just because, you know, you don't want to get in trouble with your team.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you saw the guy out in Washington State, and he actually taped a phone call with his coach Rolovich, but it was sort of like, well, oh, you're part of this Pac-12 group. Well, yeah, now his future with the team is tenuous. So players can be worried about that too. Coaches not all the same. Not all have the same thoughts on this. Colorado State's a mess of what they've apparently trying to suppress testing stuff. So you've got this spectrum of things happening, but look, there's a compelling message being sent here by players and coaches, and I think coaches, that's an important part of this too. But what can they do to get them to change their mind? I mean, to me, I don't know. I think something has to be signed. I mean, I'm serious. Like we talked about yesterday, is there a comprehensive waiver that all these players who say they want to play, would they then be willing to forfeit any future rights to litigate if some sort of an effect of coronavirus were to impact them at some point down the line? Would they forfeit that? How many would? I don't know. Is that waiver possible, and could it actually be considered ironclad?
Ooh, unlikely.
Because look, there are lawyers who are absolutely looking at this like, yeah, this is a huge opportunity to sue these universities. I mean, that's just, look, man, I mean, all these things we talk about, I'm not saying people don't care about safety of the players. I think it's fine to say it's about safety. It is. But really, it is about liability. I mean, I keep going back to it, because if people want to know why aren't these presidents listening, if they ultimately decide, no, we're not doing it, that's why. And if people say, well, the players could be safer on campus at their facilities versus being at home. I'm not saying that's wrong. I think there's some validity to that for sure. But again, now it's not on the universities.
Exactly.
It's on them. So could there be some sort of a actually organizing with players, unionizing? You know, that's an interesting question too. Northwestern tried that 6 years ago. It ended up not working.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we were looking at coaches too. There's some coaches that are very comfortable with being very outspoken on this. Jim Harbaugh is definitely one of them. I see Scott Frost, Nebraska.
Scott Frost, very outspoken.
Very outspoken. Dabo, if you wanted to address him.
Yeah, and Dabo, real quick, with Dabo, and he's, you know, Dabo also said like a few couple months ago, like, oh, there's zero question. There's going to be full stadiums. We're going to play in the fall, no problem. You know, like, stop acting like you know what's going to happen, Dabo. Dabo's like, it won't be any different in the spring. How could you possibly say that? Like, he may be right. He may end up being right. But how does he know that? He doesn't know what's happening with science. None of us can predict the future on vaccine, on testing. Like Adam Rittenberg said yesterday on the show, you know, if you get that instant test with good, with reliability, that helps things too. Then you know you can play a game basically and know everybody's negative playing this game. You can't do that now. Okay, so testing, so treatments, all this stuff. How do you know it's not going to be different, Dabo? Anyway, that's my Dabo minute. He's like, you know, the other side, just, you know, he oversteps like trying to act like he knows what is happening. Like, let's all acknowledge we don't know crap about this virus still, and we don't know where this is going in the next few months on that front. But to Dabo's point, there's a strong, I mean, he said, like, everybody's in that program, nobody's left, everybody wants to play. And that's, I mean, that is compelling.
It is, and it goes back to what you were saying, too, on this, is that, if anything, the player power right now is swaying public opinion. That really is. And public opinion, the public also includes donors, which I'm sure plays a big role in a lot of what these programs are doing. And not just college football, but any of the universities just in general of what donors are doing there. It's like, hey, if you don't play, you're not going to get my $1 million gift.
No doubt.
I'm sure it's playing into that. But then the university goes to the lawyer and goes, well, they're saying $1 million. What's the lawsuit going to be?
Right.
And they have everybody in their ears on this. And again, it goes back to the Big Ten, what we discussed yesterday as well. Some of the leadership being part of the medical community, I'm sure, is weighing heavily on that too. Big Ten also wanting to look like that elite league compared to other leagues, that they're taking something very serious and taking it seriously and everything. And it also goes back to what I said yesterday too, of how are they also going to continue to take care of the players if they postpone until the spring or cancel in general? What support are these players going to have if they're sent home, if they go virtual? What other support are they going to have? They get a lot of support when they're on campus, not just in terms of being able to play, but they get support with nutrition. They get support with their mental health. They get support with anything medical that could happen. If there's injuries that they're taking care of, what type of support is going to be supplied to them to help them continue to be good, successful athletes in the future?
Right. So if they, that's the thing. I mean, they could certainly, if they were still on campus, then all those same things that are available for them will continue to be available for them. I mean, we're talking about college students here. So,
right.
You know, if they're on campus going to school, then that doesn't really, and then you take out the, you know, the smashing into each other thing, which could certainly not be great for virus spreading, and you could still have the benefits. But yes, if they go home, now you have that whole, they are separated from the support. They are potentially in more peril by doing that. Again, bring it back around. They're also not your problem now, university president. I mean, it always comes back to that. But it's really interesting. And I will say, I think we all thought, I figured that by now we would have that word from the Big Ten. And we don't.
Today, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, this could also end up just being another kick of the can. But see, the problem is, again, it's like, why? So all this stuff about liability we're talking about, and can you have some sort of assurance? Maybe you're right. Maybe you can't. Maybe that's not possible, okay? But that and what the players think, why weren't you involving them in the first place? Why are these discussions now, like, last-minute frantic, screaming, oh, my God, what are we going to do? and the players have been on the field, and you might just pull the plug and then not be able to tell them anything. Also, we can't tell you about your eligibility. We don't know about that. Transferring, I don't know. Can that change? Look, you know that these Mountain West MAC schools, you know they're worried as heck about being rated right now too.
Absolutely.
Because those players are like, well, I want to play, and if this league will play, I'm going to go. Middle Tennessee is playing, right? So Old Dominion just announced yesterday, though, that they are not playing. So we know that Conference USA does not have
collective leadership.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's like – so it's individual conferences, individual schools within those conferences, yep. And everybody has to
– And then presidents and athletic directors having separate views, and then the coaches having separate views sometimes from those two.
And conference commissioners.
Hey.
Yeah.
So to relate to this, a little bit of local stuff, received the word yesterday, Cumberland University, that's my alma mater.
You mentioned it yesterday.
They're playing the NAIA. Received word yesterday that the Mid-South Conference of the NAIA is postponing all fall sports to the spring. So they're reworking a schedule. At first, it was just postponing the championships. The NAIA is postponing championships. Now the Mid-South Conference in general is postponing conference games till the spring. The caveat here was that they said non-conference games could take place if agreed upon. What?
Hmm.
which gets me is that, so you're saying if a soccer team or a football team had a non-conference game scheduled, they could play that in October, but then the rest of the schedule has to be played in March.
Wow. I mean, I guess you got like baseball, you know, that splits up or whatever, but
it's just very curious to me.
Bizarre.
That situation, but at least they said, hey, we'll postpone, let's go ahead and work on a schedule. So they took that into their own and said, we're going to do this right now, separate from what other conferences may be doing. And it's just very different. I mean, the NAI is a very big conference, but it's a big conference of small schools.
Yeah, right.
So, a big league.
Big league.
Big league full of small schools and some pretty large conferences. Mid-South is pretty huge collectively. So it's just interesting to see how different leagues are handling this. And, hey, some of those guys could get plucked. You never know if they need to fill spaces, which hurts some of these small schools that maybe they did hard local recruiting. And wanted this one guy. They're going to be our star athlete. Well, the best kid on your NAI team is going to be someone that can fill on in special teams, potentially, for a D1 school, if they really just need to fill a spot.
Right, right.
I'm saying it's a bad option, but plenty to go on there.
So many things end up being rich getting richer, you know?
It absolutely
in college
turns into
athletics.
That. So next up, let's talk about how this affects the NFL, how they could adjust their schedule a little bit to work with college football, especially if there's a postponement. It'll obviously affect the NFL draft a little bit and what people are seeing there, too. That's up next, Morning Drive, Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Adam Schefter sharing extraordinarily important information about the way the NFL may view this. And Schefty, for those just joining us, in brief, what you're telling us is if the college football season were to be canceled, we could see, because there are no plans for fans or anything like that at these games, they could start moving these games all over the calendar, Fridays, Saturdays, Mondays, etc., because there will be a demand for that.
I think the most likely scenario, Greeny, is Saturdays, because Saturdays would be wide open and that would be a window that the NFL would have. And I think it would like to get past these other sports, the NHL, baseball, the NBA, the presidential election. Just see how things are going in its own sport with how the games are going on during a pandemic. And then there is a window of opportunity. And as you mentioned, there is built-in flexibility with the idea that fans don't have to worry about being in Lambeau Field at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday because there are no fans. And they don't have to worry about hotels in a certain city. So there's all sorts of flexibility that the NFL will have at its disposal to do the best thing for the league going forward.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking care of us behind the glass. Appreciate that, Marquise.
That's a rare newish song that I like.
Rare newish.
How old is that song?
It's about a couple years.
Yeah, a couple
years. NERD. Yeah. I loved NERD growing up. So, and then Rihanna's on that song too.
Yeah, she's good.
Newish.
Newish. For me, it's, real new.
Joe's the back in my day guy.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, they used to just rap on beats. They had a DJ, and they would just rap.
Turntable.
Every great rapper had a DJ. Let me tell you something about Grandmaster Flash for a second.
That's right.
That's Joe Rex.
Parachute pants.
Oh, did you have a pair?
Oh, a pair? I had like a
closet full?
Like different, the gray.
Monday, black, Tuesday, red, Wednesday, Thursday,
exactly,
Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, one per – okay. So Adam Schefter talking about different days of the week, ESPN senior NFL insider. And that's an interesting thing that we should see, because why not if you're the only thing going at that time? Because we think the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, would end early October, which is typically when the season begins. NBA, around the same time, right, is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
MLB wrapping up, if it continues. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
The Detroit Tigers are 9-5, so you can't stop now, MLB.
Can't stop, won't stop. So they'll have a very big opportunity to be the only ticket in town, really, to be spreading everything out, especially take over Saturdays, because Saturdays usually are only for college football, and Saturday NFL is in January for playoffs. That's about the only time we see them on Saturdays, right? So I was very curious to see what could happen with the NFL schedule, but it's an opportunity for them to expose their product to more people as well. So, I mean, just wanted to highlight this discussion topic, because we see college football, what, on Tuesdays? On Wednesday, Thursday, pretty much every day but Monday, it seems. But have they even switched to Mondays, too?
Well, the Tuesday, Wednesday stuff comes later. You get some of the max.
Right.
I don't know. Is there Wednesday? There's definitely Tuesday action.
Right, and Thursday for sure.
Yeah, for sure Thursday. Of course, you know the NFL is already on Thursday nights,
right,
also. And college has started to go to the Friday thing. I just assumed with this, because Mike Greenberg there is like, spread it all over all these days. He's like, Monday. Well, they already have Monday. They're going to have more Monday Night Football. They have one Monday Night Football game. But, yeah, Saturday is certainly the day. If it goes the way of college football, you know, major college football not happening on Saturdays, I've got to think the NFL will fill that void. Because I think logistically it's not that big of a deal to bust it back one day and at least have, you know, maybe at least take – you've got your, what, noon, your 3:30, and your primetime slots. Could you fill all those, or maybe the second two of those, the latter two of those, with two games?
At least, yeah. At least. I mean,
yeah,
I think at least the afternoon.
On Sundays, isn't it usually so it's three games on the afternoon slots, because you have a game on CBS, you have a game on Fox, and then they rotate. Sometimes at the 3:15 game, it's on
so
CBS.
You're talking about college right now.
Well, I was talking NFL. I'm just talking
okay.
NFL in general.
NFL. Yeah, you got your noon and three slots like here. Yeah,
yeah.
Then some are a little later, three.
And then some are a little later, depending on if it's on Fox or if it's on CBS. And so you have your three NFL games, and then you have that night game. So that's four on Sunday, technically, that you're getting on to watch on TV. On national TV that you get to watch.
Well, three. You have three slots.
Well, yeah, three.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Well, yeah, four games total, because you have the two. Usually you have a back, like, you have a game on Fox, and you also have a game on CBS.
I see what you're saying.
And then usually the later slot is, okay, you'll have one on Fox and then nothing on CBS, or vice versa.
Yeah, you got a doubleheader on one of the two, and one on the other, and then you get the night game.
And sometimes they do the doubleheader evening, too, but East Coast, West Coast, right?
Yes.
Beginning of the season, a lot of times, just to get it amped up, right?
Oh, but the Monday Night Football opener.
Monday Night Football, too.
Yeah, like this year. The Titans are the second game, right? The Titans are the late game of that double up. But other than that, it's one. But, yeah, so you could take two games from Sunday, two NFL games from Sunday, I would think pretty attractive games, and move them to Saturday. It is interesting, though, like with the NBA, like through September, now you're getting deep into the playoffs. The NHL is getting deep into the playoffs. Would the NFL wait in September? I don't know. I think the NFL could sit here and say, well, we're the NFL.
They
and
don't
we'll
care.
Just,
you're all on different networks anyway, because you've seen with the NHL playoffs, they've been on USA Network, and obviously they're spread it out. The NBA is usually on TNT and ESPN, so those are going to be the two channels. ABC sometimes on Sundays, depending on, you know, what kind of game it is.
I mean, that's going to get the best stuff is ABC, ESPN. The NHL top stuff is going to be on NBC.
Right.
So you have CBS and Fox,
which
could just compete with it. It's possible.
Yeah, but then also you have to take into account baseball as well, because there are sometimes on baseball, especially on Saturdays, there's usually, especially during the playoffs, there's going to be some big games that are going to be on Fox. So that also has to be taken into account as well. Yeah. Of, do you really want to do a Fox Saturday night NFL game, or do you want a playoff, you know, MLB game? So, and that's going to be the decision they're going to have to make.
So basically, flexibility is going to be key.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
What we're seeing.
But it's good flexibility.
It is, and especially when tickets aren't involved for fans. I think that helps a lot, because you're just saying, No, we're flexing you to Saturday. No, we're flexing you to Monday. A lot easier to do when you don't have to worry about telling
season
fans.
Season ticket holders.
Yeah. So, I can't make that anymore. I planned my whole year out for this.
Right. Now, granted, we don't know for sure right now that the NFL games are, some of them we know are zero fans in certain states, but that's not absolutely across the board. So in some places, you may be able to have third full stadium, so you still have that a little bit.
Right.
But, I mean, they flex games, you know, late in the NFL season, they flex games to different times.
Sure.
They have some games that are Saturday or Sunday. They move one to Saturday. You obviously, a little bit, not as severe, but you move from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. on a Sunday, like the Titans-Colts game a couple years ago. So if it's this scenario no one wants, which is college football not playing, then you at least would have a ton of sports to fill that time. It's not making up for college football if it's not on, but it would be a lot of stuff that you normally don't have to go with the NFL.
In September would be a pretty stacked month when you think about it, because NFL – NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball, getting into playoff mode. So that's a pretty stacked September.
Plus, like, if you're the NFL, you don't want to push it back, because we already know with no preseason game, those first couple of weeks are going to be awful football. So I'd much rather be distracted by NBA or Major League Baseball and avoid those crappy games that you're going to see in the first 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, when all that's over and October comes around, people start gravitating to the NFL again. Hopefully they'll have better quality on the field, because let's face it, that first couple weeks is going to be bad.
But people will be fine watching it.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I would
too.
Their
fantasy team still, lined up. Yeah.
No, I would too. But, and then also, you have to take, because yesterday was bad, NBA-wise, because they usually do their schedule so weird to where we have five games on, we'll have two on NBA TV, we'll have one where we're not going to play at all, which is ridiculous, because you're without sports for months.
I know. Put them all on TV,
and then you have one. You had one on ESPN with the Miami Indiana game, and then you had the Lakers Denver Nuggets on TNT. So they were just all over the place yesterday. So hopefully in NFL, we already know where to get our channels from NFL, which is CBS, Fox, and ESPN. And ESPN's is on, and then NFL Network obviously on Thursdays. So as long as they stay consistent with it and make sure they broadcast as many games as possible and don't be like the NBA and they'll have five games on the schedule but only broadcast two on actual TV, then they'll get a lot of views on it.
Well, if you love the NFL, this would mean that there's some games that, when you normally have eight games at once on a noon kick slot, now a couple of those get moved to another day where you watch more football. Especially if the NFL is your number one thing.
You increase the audience of being able to watch other games.
Right. Also, NFL seems to win a lot.
Also, just got to say, how about them Phoenix Suns?
Just keep winning, huh?
They keep winning.
Look.
They keep winning. They're making it.
I'm telling you, man. Look, this is a big game for the Grizzlies. If you're a Grizzlies fan right now, you better be watching. You better be honed in on this Celtics game.
Grizzlies, what time is that today?
I have to look at the schedule.
I think it's 5:30.
Yeah, but if it's on. Because I have not caught a Grizzlies. I think I caught one Grizzlies game.
Fox Sports Southeast, though.
Well, but it's different because the Preds were playing. So when the Preds were playing on USA Network, on NBA TV, the Grizzlies were playing, but it was blocked off.
Oh.
Right, it depends on what you have, but blocked up, but then it should be on Fox Sports Southeast.
Well, I don't have that because I'm Poe.
All right, up next, we're going to talk about A.J. Brown, Jeffrey Simmons. I spoke with the media yesterday going into year two. What are the expectations for them? You're listening to Morning Drive, Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.